Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. That's where I want to be, man, is in the presence of God. He said, in my presence there is fullness of joy. In my presence there is fullness of joy. You know, you know my favorite scripture, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And so that's my life scripture. And so I refuse not to enjoy my salvation. If you don't enjoy God, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Listen, it's like marriage. If you don't enjoy marriage, you're doing it wrong. Amen. I like my wife. And she likes me. I want to finish up a message I began last Sunday or last Wednesday night entitled, I Am the Church. And last week I gave you some reasons why people choose isolation over fellowship. And I won't go through all of them again, but we understand that church is God's idea. It's not ours. It was God's idea. You know, I thought about this. I've told this before, many times before, but some of you wasn't here. How do you know? Because I promise you some of you wasn't here. But it reminds me, you know, isolation and fellowship. The enemy wants to isolate you, but God wants you to have fellowship one with another. And I thought about the story that I heard. This guy was deserted, or he got shipwrecked on this island. And he went to the island and he was there a long time, and so he had some construction ability, so he just built huts and he just built him a whole little city, but nobody was there but him. He had his house over here, so finally somebody rescued him, and the guys that was rescuing him said, what are all these buildings? He says, well, this building over here, that's my bank. This building over here is my storehouse. This building over here is my grocery store. This building over here, that's my summer house. That's my winter house over there. And he said, and then that building over there, that's my church. He said, well, I see, and I figured that was your church. It has a cross on it and everything, but I see this church over here, and it has a cross on it. He said, yeah, that's my old church. I didn't like the people in that church. And he's the only one there. I think I pastor that dude. Isolation. See, the church is God's idea. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, let's go there. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And let me encourage you to, if you haven't already got your tickets to the One Thing Conference, you need to get them. They're $5. Come on, dude. You spend more than that at McDonald's. And matter of fact, who are selling those tickets now? George Hyder, Diana, and remind me. I need one more after service. I got to get one more. So make sure you're here for that. And then Sunday evening, don't forget Sunday morning. We're gonna have a great time Sunday morning. But Sunday evening, Aaron Wilburn's going to be here. I know Pastor Steve already told you, but man, Aaron's going to be here. I was texting with him a little bit today and just already was having a good time with him. So I know it's going to be a great time. So you come and be a part of that. And, he told me today, I said, how many of you are coming? And, you know, is your wife coming with you? He said, yes, my wife and my daughter. And this was all on text. And I said, how old is your daughter? She said, she's 21. She don't normally travel with us, however she feels the Lord calling her to Florida. I said, yeah, I figured. I feel that. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, if you're there, say amen. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. I want you to see that. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions of good, divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. All right. Church, it's your choice, fellowship or isolation. Now, I gave you some reasons why people are isolate themselves, and I'm not going to look at my notes other than just to tell you them one more time. I think they're still on YouVersion from last week. I know they're not. That was Sundays. But anyways, because they don't want to get hurt again. The problem with having fellowship with people is people. But the good thing about fellowshipping with people is people. All right? Well, that's deep, isn't it? Here's another reason. I don't have time. I don't have time. We make time for what we deem important. Another one. I don't want to be judged. Well, get over it, because everybody's going to be judged. I'm just amazed at how people come to church and go, well, those people at church judge me. And you don't think the people in the club judge you. I mean, you go out there and drop it like it's hot, and you're like, no, I don't think so. You know, when you get my age, you can't drop it like it's hot, but you can squat like it's warm. But anyway. But we think that this is the only place that we get judged, right? It's not. But hey, let me just tell you, it's going to happen. I'm sorry. We try not to. You try not to, but you're still going to do it. But, all right, here's another reason. I compare myself to others, and I just don't match up. You're right. Somebody somewhere is going to have it worse than you, and somebody somewhere is going to have it better than you. Period. I preach. Go on to the podcast and listen to last week's, because I don't have time to preach that. Here's another one. This is a big one. I'm just too lazy. Just too lazy to have fellowship. I just want to sit on the couch. I don't feel like picking up the phone, so leave a message at the tone. Because today I don't feel like doing anything. Nothing at all. All right, here it is. I'm greedy and I'm selfish. It's another reason. I'm greedy and I'm selfish. But as a reminder, church is your choice. So make the decision. All right, now, I preached on that for 45 minutes, hour, something last Wednesday night. So let me deal with this. Five benefits of godly fellowship. We know why people isolate themselves now, and there are probably other reasons. But let me give you five benefits, and I'm sure there are more than that. Well, why did you only pick five? Because the mind can only receive what the behind can endure, and it's my message, and that's what I said was five of them. So here's five. Ready? Here we go. Point number one, fellowship builds friendships. Period. If you don't fellowship with people, you're not going to have friendships. But pastor, I'm afraid of getting hurt. I know it. But without the fear of being hurt, listen, let me tell you something. Every guy in this room, every guy, and I don't care how much you think you got it together, how much you thought you was a dude or a ladies man, every guy in here has always feared rejection when you step to that girl. Amen? Except for me. My wife begged me to marry her. Right. Right. I'm only saying that because she's not in here. So anyway. No, of course not. And I'll tell you right now, man, my wife's the prettiest woman I've ever dated in my life. She is drop dead. That's right. Don't y'all say amen too loud. I'll come out there on some of you. But you ask any guy who looks like they got it together, and they fear rejection. All right. But fellowship builds relationships. You know, there's a new show. I don't know if you watched it. I just watched a few minutes of it because I just had to see this. Marriage at First Sight. That's a new reality TV show. And that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, well, it don't matter. Watch it. I watch stupid things too. But it's still stupid. Right? I mean, listen, how many of us watch things you would never admit you watch? I do. And every man in here that watches those Hallmark movies with their wives on Saturday night, we would never admit that we watch them. That's why Brother Roger won't watch them with his wife. Because he's a man. Bless God. I'm a he-male. Ooh, ooh. All right? But that's so stupid. Because you don't know whether you like somebody or not unless you hang out with them. And you know what? There are people that I didn't like, and then I hung out with them and realized I liked them. Then there were people I liked until I hung out with them and realized I didn't like them. And then there are people I didn't like when I met them and I hung out with and I didn't like them and I still don't like them. I know y'all don't want to hear your pastor say that, but that's just truth. Right? I mean, that's reality. Does that make you a bad person? No, that just means that we don't jail. Right? I mean, it is what it is. We've got, you know, now that's what I'm dealing with on Sundays about beneath the surface. We just got to get real and deal with your own realness, man. Deal with your own issues, all right? The Bible said they had all things in common, that they got along with each other. They fellowship with each other. I'm number 10 out of 11 family, out of 11 siblings, and there are some of them at times I don't like. Plenty of times I thought I was adopted. One of the reasons my brother keeps telling me I'm adopted, but anyway. All right, so the early church really was a close-knit group. They were all together, the Bible said, and had everything in common. Now, I believe that the reason that the early church was such or had such good relationships was because of their commitment to Jesus, but their commitment to each other. You know, I witnessed something yesterday, just yesterday afternoon, matter of fact. I was there with a mother and an aunt. And they were talking about her son and his big old head. And they said, "Ooh, when you was born, your head was huge." And I said, and I've known the kid most of his life. I was like, I didn't realize that. It looked like I thought he had a BB head to me. And his mom was like, "Oh, Lord, no, that head was huge. I don't even know." And then his daddy come in and got in on it. Said, "Well, when he walked, he would walk like this because his head was so big." And then the aunt talked about the boy too. And then one of them said this, and it's true. They said, "Oh, we can talk about it, but nobody else better." Right? Because that's what's being together. Right? All right? So you ever said something bad about your wife and then somebody else said it, you're about ready to jump on them? Right? Because that's just part of life that, you know, we have things about us that we don't like, but yet we still love, you know, and the young boy was sitting right there when they were talking about him. He didn't go off and have to go get counseling because he knew that they love him. And I knew it. All right. And that's why I'm going to talk about his big old head too. But anyway, now let me show you the formula. Let me show you the formula for building a true friendship. Here's what people tell me sometimes. I don't have any friends. Well, are you friendly? And let me ask you this. If you don't have any friends, are you just too hard to be a friend with? You got to ask yourself some of those questions. All right? The formula for building a true friendship. Steve, I told you that wasn't the correct way to put that on there, but I'm going to overlook it. All right, here we go. The formula for building a true friendship, number one, togetherness builds relationships. Let me tell you something. If you don't ever, when you and your wife met, all right, let me talk about this show that Lori watches, apparently. Married at First Sight. I promise you they ain't going to make it unless they spend some time together. All right? They need to what? They need to read the Bible, too. That's half them shows, girl. Amen. Shoot, hey, I just want my church to read the Bible. That's what I'm talking about. If I can just get this church to read the Bible and then live by it, we'll be doing good. Woo! Lord Jesus. I'm going to get on my hobby horse just for a moment, dadgummit. Some of the things that church people, nobody in here tonight because they hate the Sunday morning crowd. But some of the things them jokers do, I know they don't go to this church. I know they ought to know better. But anyway, all right. Togetherness builds relationship. Just being together is the start. If you isolate yourself, you're not going to be able to have a true friendship that God has in store for your life. If you just meet them and then never spend any time, that's not going to be no friendship. You know, we say, oh, I saw so-and-so. That's the man of my dreams. No, that's the man of your lust. That's the woman of your lust. Because, listen, I know some beautiful people. Lord Jesus, if they was my wife, I'd kill them. Tell God they died. No way. I know some folks who are beautiful on the outside but are so ugly on the inside. Right? And it's great when you get them beautiful inside and out. That's cool then. I was lucky. But anyway. All right. Man, my wife wasn't in here to hear that. I need to make sure she hears that part. All right. You have to get together with others to get the ball rolling, right? That's one reason why it's so important to come to celebrations on Sunday and Wednesday and come to these services so that you can get to know people so that you can begin to develop friendships with them. So togetherness builds relationships, and then relationships, I'm talking about how to build a friendship, togetherness builds relationships, and then relationships build fellowship. All right? Relationships build fellowship. The Greek word for the fellowship is koinonia. How to do? All right, good. My Greek scholar over there. All right. Which means to have communion, to joint participation. I didn't say to have a joint. Yeah, Pastor, we're going to get together. No, I ain't going to talk about it. Joint participation. Well, it is joint participation. I took a token. I was passed. No. That ain't what I'm talking about. With my hand in the air. Remember them people I was talking about that come on Sunday? Police officer, a guy came out of a club, strike one, with two girls, went and got in his car in the summer with the windows rolled up and was smoking. Now, in case y'all ain't been around, that means usually you're smoking something you ain't supposed to be smoking. So the police officer went over, knocked on the window. Guy rolled his window down, said, "Yes, sir, officer." He said, marijuana smoke and everything came out. He said, "Son, what are you doing?" This boy said, "Witnessing." He said, "I'm witnessing to these two girls about Jesus." And now here's the cop, because I know the cop. He comes here sometimes. He says, "Here's what was crazy, Pastor. I said, you witnessing to them girls about Jesus? Do you go to church?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "I'm a member of the Crystal River Church of God." And here's what he said was crazy. The boy had his Bible open and his baptism certificate on the front seat. And here's what the cop said. He said, "Son, I'm going to let you off because of Pastor Ronnie." He said, "But if I ever catch you again, I'm going to take you to jail." Then he came to church that Sunday morning and told me about it, that what happened on Friday night. So I told the cop, "The next time you see him, take him to jail. And the next time he uses my church name, take him to jail anyway." And then he came to church in the 11 o'clock service, and I said, "Heard you had a little run-in with the cops on Friday night." "Oh, pastor. You know, and he was embarrassed. And I'm thinking, dude, Jesus was right there. You know, I mean, I found out about it, but I didn't, you know, Jesus was standing right there going, Aren't y'all glad that I ain't Jesus? Because I'd have popped him upside the head. All right, so joint participation to share. Y'all quit pushing on me. Relationship builds fellowship. Here comes the next one. Fellowship builds friendships. Jesus said this about friendships, and I'm reading from the Message on John chapter 15:15. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything that I've heard from the Father. Now, how many understands that? See, friends are different than people that are acquaintances. And there's nothing wrong. Listen to me closely. There's nothing wrong. Everybody's going to have different levels of friendships. There are people that I only tell what I want everybody else to know. That's right. That's like that one woman who was gossiping. She said, I done told you more than I've been told. All right. So, but then there are other people that I tell some other things that I wouldn't tell the acquaintances. There's very few that I tell everything. One of them being my wife. But I have three men in my life who I'm accountable to, and I tell them everything. Well, Pastor, why don't you tell everybody everything? Because too many people are too nosy. Right? All right. So friends, man, I tried to find another word for this because I knew that us guys, we kind of, you know, especially when we're talking about our friends, we kind of struggle with this. But friends have intimacy with one another because, you know, when a guy hears intimacy, we automatically think sex, you know. But it's not. You know, intimacy is something different than sex. I mean, it's a part of it, but not when you like with your dudes. That's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother sermon. But intimacy means into me, you know, but intimacy is, that's why, listen to me, that's why you can't be praying with the opposite sex. Because prayer is more intimate than sex. But if you want true friendship, and your best friends will change. How, you know, there are very few, there might be some, but there are very few who have that you would say, today my best friend has been my best friend since we were in grade school. Usually doesn't happen. I mean, I've got a best friend that's been my best friend for, you know, about 25 years. And it doesn't matter. He lives hundreds of miles away. But as soon as we get back together, it's like we never left. We're just best friends. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's got those people, and those are great. And best friends last forever, right? But then you got friends who last for a season, right? And then you got friends who are just there for a reason. They come into your life for a reason, maybe a season, but only a few last for a lifetime. So don't be upset just because they came into your life for a season or a reason, all right? So true friendships will last forever. Now, let me give you this. Now that's the formula for friendship. Let's run back through it one more time, Broderick. Togetherness build relationships. Relationships build fellowship. Fellowships build friendships, and true friendships will last forever. Okay? Now, you can attend or you can belong. We're talking about church. We're talking about fellowship. Attending is good, but belonging is better. There are a lot of people who attend church, but there's only a few who belong to church. That we are as a country who believes in God, but we don't belong to God. Because we believe in God. When 9/11 happened, everybody went back to church because we believe in God. But when things got okay, then we left church because we don't belong to God. We want to be buried in churches. We want to have funerals in churches that we don't attend. And we want to have our babies dedicated in churches where we don't go. And we want to be married in churches that we don't attend because we believe in God, but we don't belong to God. And there's a huge difference. So there are plenty of people who attend church, but they don't belong to God's people. Now, and I've noticed four types of people in church and in the families. Here they are. Those who are present and accounted for. These are the people who don't know what the meaning of quit is. They show up no matter what, Sunday morning, Bible study, worship, whatever, Saturday night prayer, life group, it doesn't matter, man, they're just going to be there. Doors are open, I'm there. Outreach, they're the set up and tear down crew. They're involved in everything. Those who are present and accounted for. But then there are those who are present but not accounted for. Wait a minute, Pastor. You say that makes no sense. Because it's very possible to be here in this place but not present. That I come to satisfy an obligation, but I'm not engaged. I know some marriages that way. Don't make me preach there. Then there are those who, what I call, are AWOL. They have jumped the fence. They've given up. Some are AWOL because they've been hurt. Some are AWOL because they don't like the light, because their deeds are evil and the light has shed light on their deeds. And they're like, no, I don't believe that. It's amazing the stuff that people believe until they get involved in it. That's right, Pastor. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. I believe in that until they get a girlfriend. Until they get a boyfriend. Well, we love each other. But the Bible says that sex outside of marriage is wrong. Well, it can't. How can something that feels so good be so wrong? Well, I want to slap you across your face. That would feel so good to me, but how could that be so wrong? Pastor, that don't happen to you. Oh, the spirit of slap comes on me quite often. Right? So how can something that feels so right be so wrong? Easy. Easy. Well, the heart wants what the heart wants. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. All right? I'm trying to get through this message. Y'all keep pushing on me. But then there are those who are MIA, missing in action. They've fallen into the enemy's territory, spiritually lost, captive. They have no compass. They have no guide. Because they left the Word of God on the pew. They left the Word of God in the pew, and they don't know which way to go because they're not using the Word of God as their moral compass and as their compass. Picture fellowship in this way. If you're a child of God, we're all on the same ship. And there's no such thing as the ship is sinking on your side. If you're on the ship and it's sinking. The relationship that we have with Christ puts us all in the same boat. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a purpose for living and we have a home in heaven, right? So we have the same Savior. We ought to have the same goals to make heaven our home. We ought to have the same thing in common, to glorify God, to worship Him, to learn more about Jesus and become more like Him, to use our gifts and our talents for the building of God's kingdom, and to share the good news with everybody that needs it and everybody that we meet. We have the same Father, we have the same Savior, we have the same destination, but fellowship builds friendships. But let me tell you this, it takes time and energy. Point number two. They're not as long as number one. Fellowship builds unity. All right, remember what our first one was? It's been so long ago. Fellowship builds friendships. Fellowship builds unity. Did you know that you can have union without unity? Absolutely. You can have union without unity. To prove the point, here is all you got to do. Now, in case we have young, impressionable people here, or old, impressionable people, don't try this at home. Take two cats. Tie their tails together and throw them over a clothesline. What do you have? Union. Do you have unity? Not a chance. It's going to be ugly, right? I didn't take my medication this morning. The church is called to be united, and unity is having everything in common and being of the same mind. Here's what Psalms 133:1 says. It says, "Oh, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, hear me this. Unity does not mean uniformity. We can be in unity without being in uniformity. We don't have to look alike, and we ain't got to quite act exactly the like, thank God. Can you imagine if there was three of me? So we can have that, right? Fellowship builds unity, and it did in the early church, and it still does. When you fellowship, you know, one of the closest knit groups is our El Shaddai food ministry. And there's about 40 of them, or even more, but about 40 of them in it, Don. There's about 40. But you know what? They work together every week. And you know what? There's never been a cross word. Absolutely it is. You know what? Listen, my elders, all the elders, stand. Matter of fact, if you've ever been an elder, stand up. Come on, stand up real quick. If you've ever been an elder. Come on, Dave. Elders. All right. So these are our elders of our church, or our past elders. All right, sit down. Do you think that when in our elders meeting, we always agree on everything? No, we don't. Well, how can you be in union? Because we can disagree agreeably. All right, listen. My wife, we've been married 29 years. I got married when I was 10. 29 years. And we've been happy 27 of those 29. Because 2 years of cumulative, we hadn't been so happy. But it doesn't mean that we've always agreed on everything, but yet we've been in union and had unity. I mean, we've disagreed on how to discipline the kids. But you know what? The kids never knew it. Why? Because we are a unified front. So fellowship builds unity. See, when you work with people, you give people passes. Oh, they're having a bad day. So we're going to shout grace. Now, if you've been having a bad day for the last 20 years, you know, you might want to see a doctor. All right. I don't really know where I'm at. Give me my next slide. I'm not sure where I'm at. Number three, fellowship. See, I was way off. Fellowship builds God's kingdom. Notice the last phrase of our text from Acts chapter 2. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Our fellowship and our relationship we have with one another and with Jesus is a witness to the world. The Bible says that, and you shall know them, for they will have love one to another. You shall know my disciples because they'll have love one to another. Now, the early church was committed to Jesus. They were committed to one another, and the world saw it. When Christians regularly meet together to worship God in fellowship with one another, we are a witness to the world. Now, here's what gets me, because some people go, well, I thought all Christians got along. Well, do you think all drunks get along? I don't care who you get together. Not everybody's going to get along. Amen? And so instead of allowing our differences to divide us, we let those differences unite us and make us stronger. I, for one, am so glad that my wife is different from me. Thank you, Jesus. You know, people are like, oh, Pastor Ronnie, your daughter looks so just like you. I said, no, she don't. Because she's pretty. And I don't want to be pretty. I wouldn't mind being handsome, but I don't want to be pretty. How many know what I'm talking about? We are to love God and we're to love people. And that means even loving people who are EGR people, extra grace required people. Fellowship builds effectiveness. I think it's my, yeah, good. Fellowship builds effectiveness. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 says, two are better than one because they are have a good reward for their labor. God has wired us so that we're more effective when we work together with others. There are different talents and gifts that you have that others don't have. So God has wired us so that we're effective when we work together. I'm glad that we're not all cookie cutter. I mean, my wife adds so much to me. And, you know, even my staff adds to me. Because where I'm weak, some of them are strong. And where they're weak, maybe I'm strong. And that's how we are in the church. So we've got to understand this. That fellowship, when you begin to work together. See, that began in the garden when God created Eve to be a helper for Adam. His purpose was that they would be more effective together than what they could be alone. And God uses that. He joins us together. I know that my wife complements and completes me and makes me much more effective as a person, as a pastor, as a dad. You know, I go nuts with these women who go, I want a sensitive man. No, that's a girl you want. Somebody says, Pastor, you need to get in touch with your feminine side. I did. I married her. Her name is Sherry. That's my feminine side. Right? You know, and this, I don't know why I'm on this, but this gets me too. When the girls say, well, I like the strong, silent type. And then they get into marriage counseling. He won't talk. Jeez, come on. One great advantage of living in community with the family of God is that when we need it, we have others around us who can help us. We have other people who are able to. You know, and I've said this so many times. I don't know what people do who don't have a good church family. I really don't. Why, Pastor? Because when, you know, there are times that I get down. Really? Oh, yeah, yeah. There are times that I get down. But if I'm down, then maybe Nick's up and he's able to encourage me and just lift me up. And when you get there, maybe if you have a problem, you know, you might not know the answer. I might not know the answer, but this one over here might give you a word or give you a word of encouragement or just give you a hug or, you know, sometimes just a slap on the back is like, hey, you know, you're not alone. I don't know what people do when they don't have a church family. You know, I think it was great, and I'm going to brag on our church a little bit, and God knows we hate it. A little over a year ago when Nick's wife passed away, and his nephews, one's a FBI and the other's a prosecutor, so, you know, they know people. They come down, and they came down from New Jersey for the sole purpose of packing Nick up and putting him back to New Jersey with his family so he can have that support group and blah, 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 blah. And they came down, and here's what they said to Nick. They said, you know what? We came down to do that. But after we've seen the support group that you have around you, there's no way that we could do what they do for you and help you get through this. And they said, so we're leaving with a clear head and a clear mind that you're going to be fine. Now, can I tell you that if he was out there alone, isolated, well, has he, and I could go to each one of you, and I know that there's many of you who have lost loved ones. Well, does that mean that they never went through bad times? No, absolutely they did, because if you love somebody and you lose them, and they pass away, you're going to have some bad times. But it's so much, I didn't say it's easy, it's easier when you have people around you to help undergird you. The Bible says if one falls, another one can help him up, right? And that's what we got to have. So that's why you need fellowship, man. When we do have someone come alongside us and lift us up, it's much easier. So fellowship builds effectiveness. Number five, I'm almost done. Everybody said praise the Lord. All right. No, I didn't really exactly mean that. But fellowship, number five, fellowship builds protection. Now, wait a minute. How does fellowship build protection? Well, it does it in a number of ways, honestly. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. What does that mean? Many of the relationships that God has established in our lives and roles of the individuals in those relationships are there for their protection. Do you know that my children and my family help protect me? They protect me from not taking life too serious. They protect me in other ways, right? Not just protect me from danger, but sometimes they protect me from myself. And the same thing is true with the body. See, when we love our wives, and wives love their husbands, and children honor their parents, and parents bring up their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, God uses those relationships, every one of them, in the relationship to protect them. You know, now some of you, don't be pointing at nobody, but how many of you wives or husbands have ever heard your wife say this? You need to watch her. And we're oblivious. What? What do you mean, watch her? Yeah. You just need to be careful of her. Oh, honey, don't be jealous. That ain't need nothing. If your wife says it, you better watch it. They protect you. And then sometimes the husbands tell their, you know, the husbands tell your wife, we protect them. Your children, you protect them. You know, some of the kids are alive today because of your protection, right? Well, if you let them do what they wanted to do, they wouldn't be alive. Same thing's true with the body of Christ. God protects us. God provides people in our life. He provides leaders in our life. And I always say this, you know, people like me to be their pastor until they need me to be their pastor. You know, they like me to be their pastor. They like it when I'm telling jokes. They like it when I'm, you know, making them laugh. They like it when I'm singing. They like it when I'm doing my thing, you know. But then when I have to get in the grill and go, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Who you think you are? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was your pastor. You ain't God. I know I'm not God. I'm your pastor. I'm trying to help you. Well, you don't know the future for me. You're right, brother. You're on your own. People get out of church. This truly happened one time. We're a lot smaller. People start getting out of church. You know, I called them, check on them, and I can't even remember their names, Abby's. And I called it because another church. I called them, and here's what she said. Hello? I said, hey, I just wanted to call and make sure you guys are all right. I hadn't seen you in a few weeks. We're grown. I said, yeah, I just called to make sure everything is good. We're fine. If we need you, we'll call you. And then here's what I said. No, you ain't going to call me. Because if I ain't your pastor, don't be calling me in the middle of the night. I mean, you got to remember, I'm a man. It's on. And listen, no lie, about a year and a half later, their daughter was killed. Guess who they called? And here's what they said. I almost laughed. I didn't because it was such serious. They called me and said, Pastor, we need you. I want to go, oh, now you need me. You need me now. I didn't do it, no. I was sweet. I know y'all can't believe it, but I was. I went right on over there, ministered to the family, ministered, prayed with them, did the young girl's funeral. She's about 27, did her funeral. And then never saw him again. But let me tell you this. God provides people in our lives that will equip us to be the body of Christ. But don't just take my word for it or somebody else's word for it. Read it for yourself. Because when the enemy comes in, you can't be saying, well, the pastor said. You need to say, the word of God says. See, I'm showing you where the word says it and what to do with it. But you need to go, the word of God says. See, if indeed the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, that means that the church needs to be in fellowship with one another. The more likely that we see the truth of His scriptures come alive in our church families on a regular basis when we are in fellowship one with another. Because here's the other side of that, okay? You know, if and right, wrong, or indifferent, here's another good reason for being in fellowship. If you want to get in to see me or Pastor Steve, you know, we're a little bit larger than we used to. Most time you just can't just walk in because we've got stuff going on, people coming in, blah, blah, blah. You know, we might not can get to you right then. But if you have fellowship with the body, surely there's somebody who's a good Christian. You ain't got to call it Dr. Phil. Well, Oprah said, Oprah ain't saved. Listen, you cannot get enlightened from unenlightened people. Well, but they're very wise. What does the Bible say? And I'm not saying that people that don't know the Bible is not wise, because I know a lot of wise people in business and things like that. But what does the Bible say? It is wonderful when you get wise people who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of the Word of God and full of compassion and full of Christ, and they can give you good advice of how to help you get through the situation that you're in. And that's why you need fellowship, all right? All right, I'm almost done. I said that twice. I get four of them. Come on, help me close. All right, so Pastor, how do I become a part of God's family? How do I become a part of God's fellowship? How do I become a part of His church? It all starts with relationship. I didn't say religion. Relationship. Religion will tell you where God's been. Relationship will tell you where God is. That is good. I think I'll write that down. Religion will tell you about the rules. Relationship is just that. It's a relationship. Man, I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, I might not like you, but I really need you. And that's just truth. See, here's what listen to me, church. You need some people who will get in your grill. You don't need somebody who always saying, oh, it's okay. Sometimes it ain't okay. Sometimes it ain't okay. What you're doing is ain't okay. Sometimes you need somebody to go, dude, you need to get your stuff together. That's wrong, and you know it's wrong, and you need to change it. You need to give that back. You need to make it right, whatever. You need to make restitution. You need to quit doing that or whatever. You need some friends who will get in your grill. So, Pastor, how do I begin this relationship then with Jesus? Well, we do it every Sunday. ABC, admit you're in need of a Savior. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins. See, confess with your mouth and you shall be saved. Admit that God has not had first place in your life and that you've sinned. Here's what 1 John, let me just give you some scripture. 1 John 1:9 says this, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wrong. Then believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Romans 10:9. If you confess that Jesus is your Lord, and you believe in your heart and that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And then you accept God. You accept His free gift of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for if it is by grace you're saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. And then you invite Jesus into your life and let Him take control. That's the hard part. That's really the hard part. Is God take control? You know why? Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to keep playing. Give me a little bit more sound and maybe I'll quit. All right. Because here it is, man. Invite Jesus to take control. And the reason we don't let Jesus take control is because we don't trust Him. And the reason we don't trust Him is we haven't spent enough time with Him. That's it. You know, you first meet somebody and they go, hey, man, let me hold your wallet. I'm good. Hey, man, your wallet looks heavy. Let me hold it for you. You be a servant. No. But then, when you get to know people, you know, you have no trouble taking your money clip or your wallet out and laying it into somebody's hand you trust. No, and I trust Alan. I've known Alan now for, God, since he was 49. Long time ago. Oh, my God. I've known him since he was my age. When you spend enough time with people, you trust them. Or you get to know them well enough not to trust them. You know, like, you know what you can trust some people with and what you can't because you spend enough time with them. You know not to trust me with covering, holding up your Snicker bar. They ain't going to do no good. You know, I'm going to eat that thing. Your broccoli, you're good. But with Jesus, that was cool. That's right, Levi. But with Jesus, you can trust him, man. But in order to know that you can trust him, you got to spend some time with him. Stand to your feet with me. I want you to bow your heads with me, can you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, just help me tonight. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. You know, Pastor, I don't really know him, but I want to know him. I want to ask him to come into my life. Just lift up your hand. You can put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here or anything like that. But if that's you, just lift it up and you can put it right back down. All right. So, then let me ask you this question. How many in here would say, you know, Pastor, I have isolated myself or I've allowed stuff to isolate me. And would you just pray for me? Just pray for me. I'm going to make a decision tonight that I'm not going to be isolated anymore. Come on, just lift your hand. Hands, yep, there's some hands. I'm not going to be isolated no more. I'm going to get into fellowship. And I know that's scary for me. It's dangerous for me. I know it, but I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you desire fellowship with me, with everybody here. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would recognize our need for fellowship with other believers. Yes, God, it's scary sometimes. It can be dangerous. It can be very scary. But God, we're willing to risk it because we know in order to be able to trust, we got to spend some time. And we want to spend time with God's people, but we also want to spend time with you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.